Are you curious about how to hire, motivate, and manage Gen Z employees in your food and beverage business? If so, stick around as I'm going to introduce you to someone who is a total badass in this area. Alex Taylor is the area manager for Sweet Cow Ice Cream in Colorado. She oversees 7 locations and is in charge of all things operations, production, hiring, training, and development of 50 plus leaders and over 250 employees. In this episode, Alex and I will discuss how she's found success in hiring and developing Gen Z employees, dive into the key aspects that attract Gen Z to employment, and how she has created a strong bench of applicants to fill open positions immediately when someone gives notice. Welcome to the No Hesitations Podcast, the show where restaurant leaders learn tools, tactics, and habits from the world's greatest operators. I am your host, Kristen Marvin, with Solutions by Kristen. I've spent the last 2 decades in the restaurant industry and now partner with restaurant owners to develop their leaders and scale their businesses without wasting time and energy so they can achieve work-life balance and make more money. This podcast is sponsored by Schedulefly. Schedulefly provides a simple, web-based and app-based restaurant employee scheduling software backed by legendary customer service. If you are using pen, paper, Excel, or fancy scheduling software with tons of bells and whistles that you don't use, Schedulefly is perfect for your business. When I was a regional manager handling 7 locations, Schedulefly was our go-to for scheduling. It's hands down the easiest platform that I've ever worked with. And their employee scheduling tool is awesome for shooting out mass messages about crucial restaurant updates. Visit schedulefly.com and mention the No Hesitations podcast to learn more and get 10% off. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Alex. What's up?
Hello. What's up?
How are you?
I'm just so great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. For the listeners here, Alex Taylor and I worked together for a brief time at Sweet Cow Ice Cream in Denver. So Sweet Cow has 7 locations. Yep. And I was thinking back the other day after we talked about when we first met. And do you remember you came in for an interview and we went out back and sat on milk crates in the back alley next to the walk-in. And that was where we interviewed.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah.
You sit on a couple milk crates in the back alley.
It was amazing. And then I remember my boss was like, look, can we not do interviews on milk crates? I was like, well,
yeah, it was really busy. Actually, brought me in more.
Yeah, I think that the shop was really busy and I think the seating was taken. But it was funny because I've been talking so much and writing some content around how to create a great experience for employees. And it really starts with the interview process. And I just thought it was hysterical that, here we were interviewing a GM candidate on milk crates in the back alley. So anyway, just a little fond memory of how I first met you. So
yeah, I have that memory embedded in my brain as well. So it was a great way to meet.
Awesome. So again, I'm super excited to have you on the show. So a little bit of background. You came on with Sweet Cow to take over in a GM role to take over one of the busiest locations in Denver in the Highlands at 32nd Lowell, and then eventually worked up to take over the area manager position when I left, which was just incredible to have you as an awesome partner in crime short time that we were able to work together. But one of the things that I'm super excited to share with listeners today is your leadership style and your approach to working, transitioning into a shop that was struggling from a cultural perspective and from a turnover perspective and from a perspective of kind of having a little bit of a divide between operations and leadership in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was obviously the middleman for that. So that was super challenging, working with the management team that I had at the time. And your ability to really connect with your team, to invest in the people that you were working with, to strategize about building the perfect schedule, about how to motivate your team, inspire your team. And I really loved how you were able to build a bench internally. That was one of the most incredible things that I've ever seen from an operator standpoint. And I'm totally in awe of what you did during that time and what you still do. And I'm just super excited to share all of those wonderful leadership skill sets with the listeners today.
Oh, thank you for all those kind words. Very sweet.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. So again, let's talk a little bit about your background before Sweet Cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I really, I feel like I've always worked in a realm of hospitality. From the very beginning, I remember working at a pizza shop when I was 18 with all my friends. I had a passion for kids, and so there was a moment when I spent a lot of time just with very young people in after-school programs. And then when I moved to Denver, hospitality came up again because I really wanted to meet more people my age. And I embarked on my journey at Whole Foods that I didn't know was going to be a journey, but I started out just as a team member. And throughout 7 years with that company, I was promoted 10 times and really learned a lot, not only about hospitality and food, but about building relationships, working with different types of teams, working and developing others. And also, I had some really great mentors there that taught me skills that I use to this day. Mm-hmm. So Whole Foods was like the core of what my leadership was, and my hospitality knowledge really came from that space. Then I moved on to really finding food as like my passion, and I started baking professionally after that for the Kitchen Denver, and eventually moved into a private chef role in Manhattan that lasted all until COVID. So when I moved back to Denver in 2020, starting over again and really considering where I wanted to go, Sweet Cow made sense to me because it was a business that I had loved when I lived in Denver before. And it aligned with a lot of the values I had regarding leadership, hospitality, great quality ingredients, and great people. So that's really my background in a nutshell. And yeah.
What do you think was the secret? I mean, I don't think I remembered from your background that you were promoted 10 times at Whole Foods. Holy moly. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. What do you think the reasoning was for those, for so many promotions and for so many opportunities for you at Whole Foods?
Well, first, I started from the bottom. Now I'm here, kind of telling that Drake. Always go back to those Drake lyrics when I'm looking for inspiration. No, I think because I started as a scooper, or I'm sorry, not as a scooper, I'm in Sweet Cow mode. I started just as a team member at Whole Foods. And I think because they had such a large footprint in general over many, many locations, many different roles existing within the company, there were opportunities that existed for me that made it very easy to find another role to continue to like satiate my knowledge and my quest for development. And I really found that because of the mentors I had at Whole Foods as well, there was a guidance for me to try different things so that I would be able to broaden my, you know, my skill set for like what shops I would work at, for example. So I could work with teams that maybe weren't very successful and were having issues operationally or culturally, or I would work for teams that were very successful and already had great systems in place. And sometimes promotions don't have to be big. Sometimes it would be something small, like moving into a supervisor role, and then from there, AGM, and then multiple roles as a general manager. So in a lot of ways, once I was promoted that ninth or 10th time, it was really more about learning new teams, new locations, mm-hmm. new styles. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me to be flexible and nimble in different environments.
Were those opportunities that you were actively seeking out, or were your mentors and peers coming to you saying, mm-hmm. there's an opportunity, we want to consider you?
It was both. It was both. In the beginning, it was me. In the beginning, I was like, you know, looking back, I was probably applying for things that I wasn't quite ready for, mm-hmm. because I was hungry and I was excited and I had ambition. And I lucked out a couple of times with those positions, because at Whole Foods, we had panel interviews for any job you had. So you could be chosen for something if the majority of the people in the room really felt like you were that right fit. Yeah. And later on in my career, it was more about the people who I worked with, my mentors, guiding me and saying, you know, I think this is a great opportunity for you. This is a new skill set to go to our flagship store, to run the largest division that we have in Rocky Mountain region. That's how I was guided towards the end of my career.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously your success in leadership was really crucial for, you know, when you and I were interviewing, for part of the reason why obviously your personality is amazing and you're so warm and comfortable and just authentic and comfortable in your skin, but your success in leadership was something that was really, really attractive, because I've always really tried to hire leaders that have achieved success before. They know what it feels like. They know how to go get after it, right? There's mm-hmm. great experience in working for places where systems need to be put into place and there are operational challenges. But when somebody has that track record of success, it really just propels their leadership and everybody around them. And mm-hmm. in the Highlands perspective, you know, at that shop, what I saw with the team was that there was a breakdown in culture. There was a severe lack of energy and engagement with the customers. And mm-hmm. there was a people pleaser type of leadership style in there, where there wasn't a lot of coaching and development happening, and mm-hmm. it was really impacting the progress of the team. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you a little bit about, because you had so much experience transitioning into all of these different roles with Whole Foods, what was your approach to transitioning into the Highlands location?
For me, with my approach, I feel like the first thing I like to do when I come into a new space where I don't know everyone yet is to just remember that I don't know everyone yet. It's really important for me to build new relationships, get to know people on the level they want to meet me at, not make any assumptions about where we've been or where we're going, but really try and figure out where people are at right at that moment. And start making genuine connections, not necessarily worrying about, like, you know, oh, this looks dirty over here, or, oh, this person isn't wearing their uniform. I'm not necessarily like taking tally of those things. I'm more thinking about, how do I connect with this person in the moment and try to actually get to know them, as if I was going to a party and being introduced to someone.
Mm-hmm. I love it. One of the things that I struggled with this, you know, the majority of the team at Sweetcow are in high school or college, and right. I'm in my 40s and you're in yeah. your 30s. Right. And I talk to operators now who've been in the business for a long time. Right. And Gen Z is coming in. It's the future generation mm-hmm. of and current of restaurant employees. Right. And they're being blended in. And a lot of operators ask me, like, how do I connect with Gen Zers? Like, what do I talk to them about? And that was a struggle for me too, because I'm an introvert, so I can be awkward at first, and small talk yeah. is really hard and exhausting yeah. for me. But yeah, I didn't know totally. I didn't know what to talk about. You know what I mean? So I would mm-hmm. I would just lean towards ice cream. But how did you build personal connections with your team?
I can kind of be a little Barbara Walter-y. Like, I can be 20 questions, I think, okay. sometimes. It doesn't always make people feel the most like comfortable to open up, but I think it's a good place to start, is just to ask questions and pick up on things that you can connect with. So for me, I think listening to people, asking specific questions, and then finding out how I can bring that up again in another conversation, or figuring out if somebody has a more lighthearted personality, if I see them engaging with other people and joking, I also want to have that kind of relationship with someone. So a lot of it is like paying attention to what's happening, both verbally and non-verbally. Some people really want to connect through direct questioning and genuine conversation, and some people want to connect more non-verbally.
Hello to all of you amazing leaders in the restaurant world. Before we dive back into today's episode, I want to take a moment and let you know about one of the incredible ways that you can further your team's leadership development. If you've been listening to the show, you've already experienced the passion I have for enhancing leadership skills. Did you know that I also offer exclusive leadership workshops tailored for restaurant management teams? These sessions focus on strengthening leadership abilities, fostering effective communication, crafting a unique leadership style, and developing robust business strategies and visions for the future. If you or anyone you know in the restaurant industry is looking to treat their team to a customized, multi-day leadership training that will improve every aspect of their business, please reach out to me at kristenlmarvin@gmail.com. Thanks a million for being awesome listeners. So I also want to talk about your hiring strategy, because in Sweet Cow, because the business is so seasonal, we almost had to double our staff in some locations to get ready for summertime. And you were so on top of that staffing plan. What was your strategy for that? And I want to pick your brain a little bit about this, because I just read an article in Forbes a couple days ago that Generation Z is becoming masters at ghosting employers because it feels like they have control over their careers, and they are either not showing up for interviews or they're accepting positions and they're not showing up. So will you talk a little bit about your experience with hiring, with interviewing, with ghosting? How did you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people ghost. For me, I understand there's generational differences. Things change. I remember people ghosting me for many years. I think it's a part of just being young. I think some people think they can commit to you and they can't. Some people, you know, come in and they're guns a-blazing that they want a specific job, and then you never hear from them again. And those people I put in the rearview mirror very fast, and I'm on to the next. It's about finding talent that shows up, number one. And you can see some of those things just in a work history, just like we do for any interview we have, where you really review someone's past. And it's also about figuring out what makes somebody drawn to a position and why they're interested in being there in the first place. So cultivating a great team starts with who you already have and creating that buy-in with those individuals, and especially the leaders in the room. So if you have a manager, a shift lead, a supervisor, those individuals are going to make a lot of decisions, bring a lot of the culture, and they're the ones that are going to be interacting with your team every day more than anyone else. And so I think if you build a really strong leadership team, supervisor group, whatever that looks like for you, then you start to develop the culture that people want to work with. Start developing the culture where a young person comes in on a Saturday night to your ice cream shop, per se, and they see how much fun everyone is having, and they want to be a part of that. Everyone wants to be a part of something that looks like it's fun, that looks like people are, you know, friends. And it's also genuine, authentic. You're still going to have people that ghost. You're still going to have people that are not as qualified as you thought they were. And that's okay. Because you'll find twice as many people that are interested if you have a great culture. And with hiring, you know, seasonality is big in a lot of industries. And although I didn't work in ice cream before, I worked in bakeries. And bakeries are very, very, very busy for a very short window. So ice cream was like, great, we have 3 months to be busy. In bakery land, you have 2 weeks where it's like, this is holiday season. You ramp up and your sales are going to be tripling, quadrupling, and it's only going to be for 60 days or less. And then you need to minimize your team again. So I had a lot of experience from my past life in baking to prepare myself for ice cream. I knew about flexibility. I knew about part-timers and how many you'd want. And I also think some of it's luck. You know, I was in a part of town where people were still applying and I was getting applicant flow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, one of the things that I didn't realize about ice cream when I started working in it is that it's 100% turnover industry anyway. Right. And so just because of the seasonality and some of that, it's not all bad turnover, right? Some of those people, those employees go back to school. So they take a break and then they come back, which is included in the turnover. Right. But you guys did have great applicant flow. And one of the things that was smart about what we did was our job postings were always open, right? Always, which was overwhelming at times, but also really kept a nice flow of applicants coming in. Right. I remember people being like, can we please shut this off now? But it helped us build relationships and create customers, right? Of people that we weren't able to apply or to bring onto the team. I mean, and I saw that shift with you and your team down the road where you didn't have to lean on those applications towards the end of your career. What started to shift there? What happened?
Again, it's like people enjoyed their job. Why did they enjoy it? I think people enjoy their jobs because they make good money, they have a great schedule, and they love the people they work with. Those are the three things that I think we got really good at with Sweet Cow. And we also set high standards. So everyone in the room is expected to meet those goals. And then people would just be like, my friend wants to work here. Or I have like four friends that want to work here. And I'd be like, great. Just tell me who you got. Because if I knew someone was amazing, their friends were just as amazing. You know, I had this group of high school boys. I don't say boys, they were men. They were, you know, growing up in front of my eyes. but they were, you know, I had one person on my team who was 16 and so mature and had great follow through and everyone just appreciated him. And then I hired one of his friends and he was the same. And I hired another one of his friends. He was the same too. And I eventually had like four of them, their crew, all worked at the shop. And it's incredible how if you find one wonderful person, they most likely have friends that are wonderful. And so that really became a part of what we did as well.
Yeah. And I, you know, I remember doing, you know, schedule calls with you every single week and we'd be like, okay, where are you at staffing wise? What do you need to hire for? Where, you know, what's applicant flow look like? And you're like, oh, I got a referral. I mean, you had such a great culture where you created a bunch of employees, future employees that were coming in. And I can only imagine how much time and energy that saved you to be able to focus on investing in your team.
Yeah. And going back to like the leadership part of things, you know, finding people who also make the room bright and fun and understand how to have high standards while also bringing, you know, that upbeat vibe that an ice cream shop needs, putting those people in charge. That's very, very important. Like picking out talent and promoting that talent. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to connect with every single person. I'm not going to be able to work every shift. So embodying that and the people I hired and developed was how I think the culture was consistently happening throughout each day.
Yeah. And one of the things that was, you know, built into the Sweet Cow culture, which I love, is mixing up the manager schedules, right? Where, because your shop was open, the Highland shop was open till from 10 a.m. to midnight, right? And you guys would be rocking till, you know, get out of there at 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. And so doing that kind of volume and having a line out the door for hours and hours, you did a really great job of mixing in your schedule so that you could work with your entire team. You'd work morning shifts, you'd work some mid shifts, you'd work some closing shifts. But one of the things that really stood out about your leadership was you were so on top of making sure that you were holding one-on-ones and doing performance reviews with your team. Will you talk a little bit about how you planned for those, how you executed those, how much time those took you as well?
Yeah, I think I spent a lot of time on that because it's important to me to have that. And so if something's important to me, it's going to be important to someone else. And what I found from working at Whole Foods, one of the things that we were required to do every year was have a, it was called a job dialogue, but every single person would get one throughout the year. And not only that, but you would get one for yourself as well. So there was a time where I would have to read comments from every person on my team about how I was doing. And I noticed that after giving feedback to each person throughout the year, I started to see that people were more bought in to being on the team, or people would start improving the areas that I wanted to see growth in, or maybe someone would also find their way off of the team because they were realizing that it wasn't the best fit for them. And there's also nothing wrong with that. So when I started at Sweet Cow, we had a review system and I really wanted to develop more one-on-ones, especially with the people who were leading the rooms, because being seen for 5 or 10 minutes and having a conversation about how you're doing, what's going well, what are your opportunities, those 5 or 10 minutes where someone has one-on-one time make such a big impact long term, with people feeling like they don't want to call out, or people feeling connected to authentic culture where they actually think that this is a family and it's also a job. That comes from authenticity, and I think that's where you get that.
Yeah, you kind of briefly mentioned it, but would you highlight, you know, during that 5 or 10 minute conversation, what were some of the things that you would bring up, and were you consistent with each employee?
Yeah, I was really consistent. So it was organized. It would be every other week, I would have a one-on-one with someone. So it'd be the entire group together 1 week, and then one person on their own every other week. And what I did was I came prepared with just direct feedback for everyone. So what things are going well and what opportunities do we have? Not just for them, from me, but also what do they see? What are the opportunities that I have as a leader? What are the opportunities that the shop has? What do they need to be successful in their role? So it would be 30 minutes. And typically we would start out with what was going right, what was going well, what the opportunities were for that individual, and where they could find the information or the training to improve. And then it would be an open forum to discuss anything they had on their mind. So people looked forward to those. And if I canceled one, I immediately would reschedule it for another time. Because that's the other thing is if you don't follow up on these things, if you don't consistently have them, if it's only once that you do it and then it falls off, then people don't use it as a platform to really say what they need, or to really develop on the plans that you've set from the previous conversation. The follow through isn't going to happen on their end if it's not happening on your end.
Yeah. And you did this not only with your leadership team, but with every employee in the shop.
Yes.
Did you find that your younger employees that were, you know, this was their first job, right? And that they weren't necessarily looking to make ice cream a career. How did they accept that feedback?
Most people were very open to it. You know, how you say something is just as important as what you say. So I think it's really great to tell people that they are developing skills that they can put on their resume for the rest of their life. I mean, this might be your first job, but I think if you can learn how to interact with people, not only on the team, but also with customers, if you can teach the skills that they would need for organization or for consistency, cleanliness, a lot of the things that we do in an ice cream shop every day apply to every job you'll have for the rest of your life. So I think coming from that mentality and really putting it into a perspective that's bigger than ice cream and making it more about them and their career growth starting right now, even in high school, that resonated with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And how are you applying those same ideas and philosophies with your management team now that you're area director, you're overseeing 7 locations, right? You've got 6 shift leads and 2 managers, ideally in every location. How are you teaching them how to develop their team and motivate and inspire their employees?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing that's happened from being an area manager is I'm more organized than ever before, which is great. We actually have templates for every manager now to use for one-on-ones, not only for myself and the manager, but we also have templates that they can use for themselves and their assistant manager. We also do the same thing with our shift leads. We have, not everyone connects in the same way. Not every manager connects through the same questions or the same conversation. So we really wanted to set up some kind of template for people to use. So that way they would have a guideline as to how they would want those one-on-ones to flow. So we catered it to each shop, each manager, by tweaking things that really were priorities for them, but it's the same template and it's a requirement that you schedule those. You know, when you're not having a shift lead meeting 1 week, you're having a one-on-one. And we are revamping the review process as well and making it easier. So we don't want it to be wordy. We don't want you to have to sit writing something for over an hour to give to someone. We want it to be easy where you can really highlight the things that are going well and talk about the development piece. So we've also come up with a couple of different ways of doing that that save time for our managers so they can spend more one-on-one time with the team and with their shift leads.
That's the beauty and the goal, right? The more systems that you can put into place, the more opportunities that your managers have to spend with their team, right? And the more opportunities the team have to spend with the guests, for sure. I want to ask you one last question. What do you find Gen Z really wants out of a job when they're coming to interview? What are they asking for?
I think people are again, going back to what I said before, like multiple times, but I think people are looking for like authenticity. I think they're looking for either a manager or a company or a team that will genuinely care about them. So if you are having a mental health day, you can have it. And that's on the manager to make sure that we have enough people so that when that comes up, no one is shamed for needing a day or no one is shamed for being sick. I think that came from COVID as well, not just Gen Z. But then it's the part of really genuinely connecting just on a human level and ensuring that you are asking the right questions about what things we want to grow in their career and what things we feel are strengths that we want to just see maybe that person teaching others. So I think it's authentic connection. And I think it's really consistently showing up and bringing, you know, bringing that sense of care that not just Gen Z, but I think we all want.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Well, Alex, you're amazing. Thank you so much for being
so
here.
So are you.
Thanks.
We're sitting on milk crates.
I know.
Right now, just like
we are, right? I love it. I'm backed up in my closet and you're in a stairwell. This is just yes. This is just how we roll. So
just where we deserve to be.
I love it. Again, just really appreciate you being here and sharing your nuggets of wisdom and so excited that we've been able to stay connected. And can't wait to see you in person very, very soon. So,
yeah. Thank you,
Kristen. All right. Okay, everybody, be sure to share this podcast with any leaders you know in the restaurant industry. And be sure to check out my step-by-step guide on how to retain your employees at kristinmarvin.com. And follow me on LinkedIn at kristin-marvin. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Thanks.